Hello everyone, and welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. I'm Tim, the Deputy Editor, and in the studio today we have Tom Francis.
Yes, I am Tom Francis. I'm saying my name because that's how we're supposed to do it,
Tim. Yeah.
Okay.
So people know what our voices sound like.
And another guy. You.
Who am I?
We're all on different pages.
Well, I'm Craig, yes.
Okay. And special guest star, cameo by...
Stephen.
Wow. Stephen!
I've never known you, Stephen, before.
No, that's really strange.
Yeah.
It's my name.
You always just drop the N. It's always just Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
I'm a podcast now.
What can Steve possibly be short for?
It's Steve Williams, who is the funny one.
That Steve couldn't come.
Yeah.
He forces us to introduce him that way. We didn't want to, but...
Steve is the funny one in the magazine.
Stop saying that.
Whenever we need funny, we call upon Steve.
Stop it!
Awkward!
And he wears a jester's hat.
Right
and
now.
And a big bladder. Shoes, and a big stick, and whistles and banana.
That's what makes Tim laugh.
All true.
Yep. Okay, so let's actually... Oh, fuck, what were we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about what. Okay, so we're going to talk about what's coming out.
Yes. Okay. So on our schedule of talking about stuff today, we're going to talk about some of the stuff that's come out and what's coming out. What's in the current issue? Because we've got quite a big issue. Something about World of Goo and Carnage.
Carnage,
which is exciting.
Yeah, that's not a name of a game, right?
No, it's not. Carnage, just explosions and shit.
It'd be an awesome name for a game.
Yeah.
Explosions
it.
And shit would be a better
name. Or Carnage colon explosions and shit.
Carnage shit 2,
explosions, back. Blood and shit.
Okay, so what's coming out? Or what has just come out?
Prince of Persia is coming out.
Prince of Persia, that's an exciting game, isn't it, Steve?
That's very good.
If only someone in this room had reviewed it.
Yeah.
Essentially, bad.
That's a total reversal of your position a few minutes ago.
If you had to score it out of between 1 and 100.
Actually, 0 and 100.
Probably
zero
and say 100. Roughly 49% out of 100.
Do you not like Prince of Persia?
No, it was terrible.
Yeah?
Is it because you hate Persians?
Iranians? Not so much. No, it's got no challenge in it, and... Well, that's it, really. The combat is awful, the platforming is awful, you can't die, and it's still easy.
Can't rewind time.
No challenge. Either. Yeah, and you can't rewind time.
Taking out the main reason that I wanted to play the game for the last three times.
And you hate Americans?
Not so much.
I suppose that's worth mentioning. You could absolutely hate Persians and still quite like this, because there don't really appear to be any Persians in it.
I'm also keen on Persian cats. Why am I being cast as the racist? At first I was the funny one, now I'm the racist.
The racist funny man.
Racist funny.
You're like Michael Richards.
He's not funny though.
No, I suppose not. He's just racist.
I'm the only one who played it, and you've probably heard me screaming, but they've taken out the time rewinding, so now they've made it so you can't die. If you fall off something, you just get reset to where you fell off.
And you get reset by your friend Elika. Lifting you up by your hand, right? And it's like, it just cuts away to a scene of hand holding a hand.
It's almost like, a short cut scene and then a reset to the platform you were on.
When they were talking about this, I thought it was going to be like, you see yourself fall off the platform, then you see her jump from where she is and come down and rescue you. But it's not, it literally just cuts to a hand holding a hand. So even if you're climbing directly up and she's below you, and you fall off or die in some way, you'll see her hand coming from above you somehow and lifting you up to take you back down.
Does it not make...
Yeah, well, she's also a double jump. So you jump and then you press double jump.
Yeah.
She jumps up, throws her momentum into you, which has some kind of sense, like physically,
almost.
Sort of. So that throws you, but then that should throw her down into the pit to her death.
But it doesn't.
She just hovers and then jumps back.
She can
so it's
fly.
Just like, why don't you go?
Yeah,
you can just fly.
Also, the prince constantly falls off things, apart from when he rolls across a ceiling upside down.
Yeah, apart from that.
They've added ceiling walking to the wall walking. You can just run on ceilings.
But he can only run on ceilings if he's holding onto a gold ring.
Yeah.
So if they just missed out one gold ring, he would never have saved the world.
I think that's a motivational thing. I think it's when he can see another gold ring right next to him, he's got the force of will to just walk on the ceilings to get to it.
He's like a hungry dog.
I think it's just because he's a dick.
Oh yeah, he is a dick as well.
He's a dick.
He's an American frat boy, isn't he?
Incredibly glib.
And the
sort of whiny, thinks he's funny.
The like combat me. Is just boss fights, right?
And he hates Persians. Yeah, the combat is also dreadful. It's a one-on-one mini boss fights every time. You're just sort of stuck, locked to them, and it's...
It throws these icons up on the screen that really make no sense as well. You've got to do this, but it's just strangely drawn icon that not a button presses.
Yeah, it doesn't fit to anything on the keyboard, but also when you plug in a 360 pad, it doesn't fit to anything on the 360 pad either.
Oh, that's atrocious.
It doesn't change.
There's a long history of QuickTime events being ported to the PC and then just showing like this abstract icon representing the gesture that you might need to do to press the correct key.
Press the green sword key. Don't have one.
Mercenaries 2, you get these great, really exciting hijacking moments where you're ripping the pilot out of a helicopter and then it just suddenly pops up with like a white square with a black banana in it. What the fuck do I press? It's like, hammer it, go on, hammer
it. I'm looking on the keyboard.
Press the black banana, damn you.
That's the pilot's last thought.
If only I had a black banana.
Which is the weird thing about this Prince of Persia thing, though, is that it seems to be getting amazing scores across the interwebs.
Early on, it did, yeah. Which
been a bunch.
I've heard
been
it's
a,
hard to understand.
There's been a 5 out of 10 one come out. There's been a 6 out of 10 one come out recently as well. So it's starting to come down again.
I've talked to some people who reviewed it and gave it positive scores, and they all agree that there's basically no challenge to it, and you just kind of sleepwalk through it because you barely have to press any keys to actually complete it. Mm. But they said they found that relaxing, and it looked pretty.
Okay.
Wow.
It's like a waterfall in that way, or watching paint dry.
Yeah, or a screensaver.
But you were screaming. You found it incredibly frustrating.
I wasn't screaming.
I was barely a bellow.
Yeah. It was sobbing.
Okay.
It was amazingly frustrating. The combat is incredibly frustrating. Essentially, it's better to sort of push the enemies to the edge of the contrived ring you're always standing in, and then attack them on the edge, and then you'll always just run them through with your sword and kill them instantly. Whereas if you do anything else, you're generally just hacking away at them. And
it seems to be
incredibly dull.
Almost willfully repetitious in that you fight one of those bosses and they don't actually die, they just run away, and then you have to fight them like 3 more times before you properly kill them.
Yeah, it's strange. It was like a week ago or something I played it, and it's all flooding back. I didn't remember how many negative things there were to say about this game. Yeah, they do keep running away, and you've hacked away at their life bars, and then they start healing themselves when you're not hitting them. And then they just run away. You haven't even killed them, and it just goes on and on.
Actually, yeah, I remember that. You're getting really frustrated with these fights, doing them over and over again, I think, next year, reviewing it, and almost in tears, and then someone who'd reviewed it for Xbox World came over and said, oh, so have you got to the enemies that start auto-healing that yet?
Yeah. No! Well, that was when I collapsed on my keyboard and won 3 fights in a row.
Okay. As well as Prince of Persia, there's GTA. What do we think of that?
Awesome, but broken. Yeah.
Awesome game. If terrible I could, experience.
Yeah.
If I could make the sound simultaneously, I would have been booing and cheering at the same time.
Hooray! Beering. Sure.
It is so disappointing that people can get how... just get launching a game so wrong. And so I was looking at my system properties, exciting PC talk about kind of the tasks that are running.
And you told us that you didn't want to talk about it because it was boring. This is the most boring thing I've ever heard on a podcast.
GTA's Rockstar Social Club little app has taken up more memory than Steam was and MSN Messenger combined. Mm. And all it seemed to be doing was hosting a little button that said play.
Yeah.
I kind of think...
It's not. It's uploading.
A really big play button, though.
Yeah. It is.
It's for uploading games, videos to Rockstar's website. It's more than that. I found it easier to play GTA by just turning Steam off. You can actually play the game without Steam running.
Okay.
In the graphics menu of GTA 4, it tells you how much system resources you have free and how much your current graphic settings are using, which is a nice idea. But it's saying I have 300 megabytes of RAM free out of 2 gigabytes. Why is that exactly?
Isn't that video memory, though? It's like video memory.
Just on very heavy on the graphics card.
Fucking
hell.
Yeah.
And also, you can only put it up so far before it tells you can't do it anymore.
It's on default settings, 1024 by 768 on medium and low. And if I try and change it in those, it just kind of trembles. Like, you'll see the high settings and it'll push it back. Oh, no, I can't go any higher than the absolute bare minimum shit spec.
It's so frustrating because it's an incredible game. Like, there's no question about it that is, I think it is the best GTA game. And in terms of just sheer drama and fun and silliness, it's
a great
so
PC
exciting.
Game as well.
And I think the movie editor thing, I think, is genius.
That's great. I mean, that's a huge step. I mean, that and the just playing your own music in game. I don't know if you can do it in the Xbox. I couldn't find an option.
I don't think you could.
But would have been
in the PC, it's just so easy. Just take a shortcut, copy it into their folder. And I've got, 2,000 songs? So I was driving along, let's say, just listening to Lily Allen. and a lullaby.
Because you only paid for four of them.
No. And a lullaby version of a Nirvana song.
Oh.
That's awesome.
I would have been perfectly happy for them to spend the time they spent on all that video stuff, because they've done a really good job on that. It's a really good idea and it's really worthwhile. And spent a whole load of extra time getting it properly working smoothly on a PC, really efficiently and running really well.
Yeah.
And to save the time they'd need to do that, cut out a single player. Just don't have a single player game at all. Have co-op, multiplayer, and video editing. I hate most of the single player missions. The story, I think, is awful. I hate all the cutscenes. I hate the acting. I hate the script. But multiplayer is just absolutely brilliant fun. Every time I play multiplayer, I think, why was I ever playing this alone?
Yeah. We played multiplayer at lunchtime. I'm still kind of buzzing off it, because it was just so much fun and so silly. And so kind of my favourite thing to do in it is to hold one of the little avenues that you can, it's basically just one road down, and piss off the police to such an extent that they send everything at you. And we did that for about half an hour with a 5-star Pontoon rating. Busted out, went to the airport, got some helicopters.
Drove a SWAT van into an airplane.
Yeah, that was cool. And then Craig took us to the Statue of Liberty so we could ram it in the face with a helicopter.
And just missed it as well.
Just missed it. As the sun was coming up.
Yeah.
But what's weird is, when the reviews came out, people talk about the multiplayer and they say, oh, yes, there's lots of different modes and you can do races and co-op missions and stuff like that. And they didn't really talk about the free play. They just said it was nice that there's a free play option, but they just kind of skipped over it. And in fact, that's like the heart and soul of it for me, just fucking around in a huge open...
I don't think people play games like we play them, though.
No. Yeah. I mean, Kieran was... because Kieran was playing this afternoon, he was baffled that we weren't playing the GTA race mode, which is much more kind of objective. You know, you've got to get to a certain position. You can do anything you can in the city, but you've just got to get there. And that is a great way to play it. But for us, it's more about the kind of, we just dick about ourselves.
I'd really like a kind of an even more free play mode where you're all basically superheroes and you can survive any fall and there's no friendly fire and you're just kind of brawling around the city basically. And so you're never too far away from each other. You could like teleport to each other with just a key press or something.
Play Crackdown co-op.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I guess the question is what the kind of mod support is going to be of it, because I just want a zombie version of that. The one thing for Left 4 Dead for me is that it's...
I don't think it'll have mod support.
Really?
I think, they're a bit after what happened last time.
That's true.
I think Games for Windows Live sort of almost precludes it in a way.
That's sad.
Yeah.
We should do something on that, actually, because if it's true, then that's really sad.
Yeah, that's all hearsay. I read it somewhere, you know?
Okay, yeah, so. Okay. Okay, so those are the two big games. There's also Mirror's Edge coming out shortly, and Fallout.
Yeah.
And Fallout 3 is obviously out, but there's some DLC coming out for Fallout.
Yeah.
In January.
So Mirror's Edge, are you excited about Mirror's Edge?
I'm extremely excited about Mirror's Edge, no matter what anyone else says about it. No matter how many kind of 6 out of 10s come out for the console version, I'm still determined to find out.
I'm so excited it's made you like a song that you wouldn't normally like.
Exactly, yeah. And they tricked me into liking that because they played the instrumental version first. With that first Mirror's Edge trailer that was just beautiful, amazing art style we hadn't seen before and just beautifully shot and ends with her jumping onto that helicopter and dangling, seeing her reflection. And then I think it cuts to her standing on top of a building or something and then the good bit of the song comes in. And it's just pure instrumental and it's kind of sort of the music I sometimes listen to. And then it turns out that's just the instrumental version of an actual song with lyrics and a woman singing.
Oh,
and
no.
And now I have to like that as well.
A woman singing.
Because I can't deny that is essentially the same song I liked before. And so I automatically have to like this new version, even though it's not really my kind of thing.
What is
so
the
in
song?
Short, you now hate Mirror's Edge.
It's called Still Alive, would you believe?
Yeah.
Game theme called Still Alive.
What?
And
wait,
I thought,
really?
I thought that was just like a coincidence. Well, it is a coincidence, obviously. But I thought that they're just licensed a pop song that they liked, and it just happened to be called Still Alive, and they couldn't really avoid that interest. But no, EA actually wrote it. They have a recording studio at EA, and they wrote that song.
I know a funny fact about the Mirror's Edge soundtrack.
How funny?
Well, it's not funny.
Tim's the funny.
Is it going to make us laugh?
Well, no, actually, it's it's not funny.
Shouldn't you make a beeping noise when you back up that fast?
It's anti-Semitic funny, man, Tim Edwards.
It's not funny. It's not particularly interesting, actually.
Don't say it. Just let everyone listen to the podcast just miss out on this amazing gobbit of information.
And I don't think I'm allowed to say it because it might be libelous as well, but never mind.
Wow.
So I can't...
Just carefully, you can hear the backpedaling.
Yeah. So I know nothing about... I know nothing interesting about the soundtrack. And we should move on to...
to the downloadable content from Mirror's Edge, which is, I think, why this was brought up along with Fallout, because they just showed a trailer of what it's going to be like, and pleasingly, it's completely surreal. It's just abstract blocks hanging in space.
It's Mario Kart. Not Mario Kart, Super Mario, basically.
It's, yeah, because that baffled me, actually, because they seem to put so much effort into making that city look like a city where they obviously really just wanted to make a platform game.
Guessing maybe it's going to be like a virtual reality kind of story where, I mean, it's not going to be a story at all, but I'm saying that they're probably, the excuse for having an abstract environment will be like, you know, Faith sits in a virtual reality thing and does time trials to practice her skills or something.
That doesn't really explain the giant rat, though.
I can't entirely explain.
Maybe this is what the sewers of that city look like.
But yeah, they're awesome because they've kind of, even though they've removed it from reality, they haven't kept it strictly functional. So there's these blocks and they're hovering exactly where they should be for the, you know, optimal fun rather than optimal realism, which is cool. But they've also just extrapolated those into these huge fractal shapes of just blocks that obviously aren't part of the level, but just making an awesome backdrop.
Is that coming to PC, do we know?
I don't think they've confirmed that.
Maybe it'll come out with the PC.
I'll tell you what has been interesting, though. Amazing news today is that Burnout Paradise is PC-bound, which we knew, but it's going to be free for a time.
Yeah, it's like a free trial kind of demo.
And Burnout's just brilliant anyway. I love the Burnout games, only because they ship blow up good.
Carnage.
Yeah, Carnage. But I think, I mean, in the same way that GTA on the PC has just been brilliant, and being able to fire the game up and just kind of hammer some multiplayer in it.
Once you've got it working.
once it's working.
I checked, it was 80 minutes past one by the time we started at 1 o'clock.
Woo! Go PC gaming!
I think I was in about 15 minutes after that, because I was still fucking around with .NET framework and Service Pack 3. And
on the upside, though, now it's running. It seems to be, I think...
Now we're all set. Okay. It should be more than 5 minutes.
Although on my PC, it still runs terribly and looks awful, too.
Yay, PC gaming!
We've gone away from Burnout back to GTA.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep, and we weren't
interested in
Burnout.
DLC.
Yeah. Incredible amount of downloadable stuff for Burnout coming. Some of it free.
DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Yeah. Mm.
They've changed their model slightly. Most of it was going to be free. Now a lot of it's going to be paid for, but all the free stuff from before is just going to be bundled on the disc from the start.
Is that for PC?
For PC, cool. The ultimate box.
Oh, that is absolutely brilliant.
And
I mean, that's what I'm
all
kind of
brilliant. Apart from, you know, as long as you can navigate at 1,000 miles an hour, as long as you can read the little tiny map.
It is the world's most intense orienteering sim. Isn't it?
It's I've lost so many races just because I've turned the wrong way and everyone's gone somewhere
else.
You're
just in a car park going, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, you can hear them all screaming, having a good time somewhere else.
The way I basically play Burnout online is you let someone lead it.
Just follow them.
Unless that's Steve, in which case you're in the car park trying to back up quick.
We're in a car park.
He's trying to follow you, so you end up going around in circles.
But actually, Burnout is another game that kind of, there's a mode in it which is like a free play mode with a series of just 200 challenges to be completed at any point you feel like. And that's great for just cruising around, seeing something right. Now, in this mode, we have to leap 500 yards in a single car. Okay, can you do it? And then you know, the mode is just kind of finding your way to do that.
Would you usually leap 500 yards in several cars? Change the midair.
You have to do it as a team, perhaps. You have to jump 500 yards between you, whatever. So it encourages people to get together and do the same thing.
Cool. Yeah.
Also, just being stupid, just messing around is what they're sort of really bigging up with the extra content. The new island, Big Surf, it's called, is most of it is built with tubes to jump through and cranes to jump off and scaffolding you can climb right to the top and jump off, and it's just built as a big adventure playground for cars, really, which is how I see Burger King car parks.
And out-of-town shopping estates.
Yeah, exactly. And malls inside as well.
Pull it through DLC.
Pull out 3DLC.
Do you mean downloadable stuff?
I'm still kind of hoping that they will do for Mirror's Edge what they've done for Burnout, what they often do for the PC port of a console game, is just bundle all the DLC free with it.
Wow.
Okay, that's not the end of the podcast. Sorry, I was just kind of put on pause for a moment. The Fallout DLC is three modes of it. I'm going to test Tom now. What are they?
Is it three? I thought it was four.
Three.
Fail.
Okay, one of them is a simulation of some kind of battle involving the Chinese military.
Operation Anchorage, where
Alaska.
The Chinese try to take over Alaska, is it, and America fights them off.
Motherfuckers. Carry on.
Sarah Palin,
there's one that is the Pit, which is Pittsburgh, what became what happened to Pittsburgh, and it's now like a raider city, and I think there are different factions of raiders, and you get to decide who you want to fight for.
Yep.
And the other one is extending the Brotherhood of Steel storyline. I can't remember what that one's called, but I think the idea is you sign up with them and you like become a proper member and hopefully resolve the conflict between, well, not resolve, but get involved in the conflict between them and the Outcasts, because that was something that Fallout 3 hinted at.
Outcasts or Enclave?
Outcasts.
Okay.
The Brotherhood of Steel guys who...
Those guys.
I didn't really know much about that plotline until I just ran across some Outcasts. I found their kind of HQ in this old abandoned office block, and they won't let you into it, but you can talk to them about who the hell they are and why they're Outcasts. And from their perspective, they think that they are the Brotherhood of Steel, and the other ones, the rogues, because...
Did George Lucas
they've stuck... From my perspective, the Jedi are evil. they're basically sticking rigidly to their mission, and the Brotherhood of Steel, people called the Brotherhood of Steel, are the ones who kind of softened and said, oh no, we can't kill innocent lives to do this or whatever. But anyway, it's set up but never resolved in Fallout 3, and the main plot takes you through the Brotherhood of Steel and lets you talk to them and have dealings with them, but you never get to, you know, say, hey, you guys are wrong, or hey, the Outcasts are wrong, and actually get involved in that conflict. So I hope they're just going to kind of bring that plot line to a head.
Yeah. I kind of want to join the Outcasts.
Yeah, they've got darker armor, so that's cool.
Okay, so that is all cool shit of coming stuff coming out, I guess.
Yeah.
Is there anything else coming out?
No.
Not off the top of my head. No.
Okay, so should we talk a bit about the 196th issue?
Okay.
The historic 196th
issue. Historic 196th issue, which we're talking about 2009 and what's coming up and why the PC is... kind of super exciting place to be in 2009, and it is because it's a place where you can high five your friends.
What?
Just when you feel like it.
You don't sound super excited.
That's virtually true.
Yes. And we're kind of leading with some of the really cool Blizzard stuff that is going on in 2009 in Diablo and StarCraft, or Diablo 3 and StarCraft 2. Because you wrote the Diablo stuff. Didn't you?
Did I, indeed?
Yes, you did. And
okay.
The rune stuff in that, I was reading your kind of...
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing. Like, so cool.
There's, okay, so the rune system is that in previous Diablo games, you could slot items with gems, and then in the Diablo 2 expansion, you could slot them with runes. And,
Sorry, Steve is just gesturing and...
Sorry, just now, it's zombies.
Yeah, I have zombies on my hoodie. It's okay, they won't come to life. So you can... In previous games, you could slot items, as you can in WoW, I believe. But in Diablo 3, you can slot skills with runes, which makes no physical sense whatsoever, but is awesome, because there's only like 5 different types of runes, but you can slot any one of them into any skill, I think. And they properly, completely change the way the skill works. So if you slot a... lethality rune into teleport, it means you actually hurt people when you teleport into them. And if you slot a multi-strike rune into teleport, then when you teleport, the previous you stays where it is and will fight alongside you. And they describe it as being like the Star Trek episode where Kirk splits in the transporter accident and there's an evil Kirk for a while. So it's that, but for your character. The more you read about it, the more you think, holy shit, they've made like just 5 new skills for every one skill that they had before, basically. And someone asked them, isn't that a ridiculous amount of work? And the lead designer, James Wilson, is that?
Jay Wilson.
Just started crying.
He said, just broke down in tears.
I haven't seen my daughter since she was 3.
As he was crying, you could see like lash marks on his back. No, he said they have a saying at Blizzard, or something that they say.
Shut up and get back to work.
Pretty much. If someone complains the design's too much work, I say, well, how about we pay you? And you just keep working on it, and we'll just keep paying you every 2 weeks.
Good hell.
Emphasising basically that it's your fucking job, so shut up and get on with it.
I'll never catch on.
Jay Wilson was really heavily involved in Company of Heroes and Dawn of War.
Yeah, and he was a lead designer on Blood 2.
Woo.
Don't you know? I was a huge fan of Blood, and he was like a designer on that. I think he was the lead designer. And I was like a... school kid at the time, total fanboy, and he sent him emails saying, "Oh, you should do this in Blood 2, and you should do this." And he got back to me and said, "Yeah, we're doing things a bit like that," and that's how the game worked out. That's why you should never listen to me.
So, can we be Jay Wilson fanboys?
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
Starting a fan club now.
Yep. Okay. We'll get banners.
Good stuff.
Hats.
Just 2 hats, okay? Because that's all you need.
Craig, how do you feel about StarCraft 2?
you may have to censor what I'm about to say, to be honest. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't like any Blizzard games.
Okay. Is there anything else you're excited about in 2000?
Yeah, you have to come back to me about that one.
Okay.
Maybe
Borderlands?
Well, I was honestly, I'm more interested in what they're going to do with Team Fortress 2 and Left 4 Dead.
Okay.
Because there's going to be new Left 4 Dead levels, obviously. They'll clearly put someone in a mall at some point.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to make people pay for them?
No, Valve don't do that. They told us they just don't do that. What they do is they just give content and more people come. Every time they do a free weekend, they get 20% more players. So you should do it every weekend, basically.
Yeah, they should. I mean, they
surely need to do it 5 times and then 100%.
I think people might cotton on and realise they don't really need to pay if they're not playing that much during weeknights.
But yeah, they will never charge for DLC, Valve.
Okay.
I'm worried they've really boxed themselves in with a name for a sequel. What are they going to call it? Left 4 Dead as well. Still Left 4 Dead.
Also Left 4 Dead.
Left 5 Dead. It's not going to make sense.
Left Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
Good. No more room left for dead in hell. Possibly.
That sounds like a text message someone sent to their friend.
They double the player count and it's 8 by zombies.
Zombies 8 by head.
Zombies 8 by thumb.
But that's all I really played last year was Valve games.
Yeah.
I'm getting excited about Fallout 3 DLC as well, but I haven't even finished the main quest yet.
I mean, that's my problem, is that every time I think I should play Fallout, I just end up wandering places.
But that's why I love it. I don't want to finish the main quest. I want to find incredible hidden items. I want to find the fire. Have you heard about the Firelands?
No.
The Fire Ants?
Firelands. Not the Fire Ants.
No, the Fire Ants are twats.
So at some point during the game, you'll either hear an explosion that sounds a bit like a plasma rifle or a mine going off. But just before that, you should hear a jet going overhead. And if that happens, you should start looking around, because that means an alien ship has just crashed, right? And it's spilt its entire cargo, which includes a weapon called the Fire Lance, which is a special, unique version of an alien blaster that's already in the game, that's already astonishingly powerful.
Canal.
So that's what I want to find in Fallout 3 right now.
I do remember walking out of a door once and seeing, just kind of going out into the wasteland, stepping out of a factory, and seeing, you know, one of those kind of Robbie the Robot guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
basically, he'd been kind of launched up into the sky and was just kind of floating in this arc. And it took him about 35 seconds to go from like the one side of the sky to the other. I was kind of watching him going, something just happened then. I was like, really want to know what.
This is why every game needs a replay editor.
Yeah.
Just hit F2 at that point and you can go and find out what happened.
I absolutely love the robots in Fallout 3. Yeah. All types of them. Particularly the robo brains, the brain in the jar on top, and the big kind of like arms that wave around and fire lasers rapidly. And the Protectortrons, which are just awesome anyway. I think it's Forbidden Planet they're based on.
Yeah, it's Forbidden Robot.
And there's ones in the Nuka-Cola factory where they have this pre-programmed message they say saying, detecting intruders, must protect the interests of Nuka-Cola! I could just hide around the corner from robots, just listening to them all day. It's just hilarious. They're also, they're probably my favourite bit of the combat in Fallout 3 as well, because you can target the, I've forgotten what it's called, but there's a circuit on the back that controls the inhibition unit or something, that controls who they attack. And if you break that, it won't stop them from attacking you, but it'll make them attack everyone else.
Awesome.
So I had a whole, robot factory I was assaulting with, like, the most dangerous high-level ultra assault droids and a load of other robo brains and stuff. And went around the whole thing just with sneak and just like a small laser pistol, shooting them in the back and just vacating the area as quickly as possible. And then just listening to like the super powerful one just destroy all the others in the level.
Awesome.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm excited about Fallout 3 DLC.
Steve? What are you excited about in 2009?
That's a very good question. Didn't I say something earlier on? I can't remember what it was.
Prince of Persia.
It wasn't Burnout. It wasn't Burnout again, was it?
No, it wasn't Burnout. It wasn't even... Alan Wake against all... It's not looking so good for Alan.
It's not looking so good.
I was initially quite impressed. They just... I don't know why they announce things so early on and then go, it's not done till it's done. You know, just shut up about it for 3 years and then announce it, because what looked quite promising with the physics and the day and night and the, just a world that you could exist in beyond the horror side of it as well. It now looks really old. Now that's sort of the new trailer and that it just looks very standard what everyone else is doing, and it's a bit of an uphill battle.
They've shown people talking and moving around now, and it's got that horrible kind of fakeness to it that game characters so often have, where they've motion capped the animation, but they haven't hasn't been a real actor acting and speaking at the same time. No. So it's voice acted, then played over the motion capture animation, and it just looks so wrong.
Not really kind of talking, getting me excited about it.
No, but I've still got this little, just tiny bit of hope that it will be good, that it will be an atmospheric thing, and that it will be better than Silent Hill 5 or Homecoming, whatever it was called, which was rubbish.
Okay. Well, that's that.
2009, everyone, woo.
2009.
Yeah, woo.
It's the most downbeat 2009.
Mark the date.
Now, what are you looking forward to, Tim?
To the Blizzard stuff, isn't it?
I do think StarCraft 2 is going to be great, but having spoken to Tom, because you went to play Dawn of War 2 quite recently, for me, Dawn of War 2 is just like, I vibrate when I hear the name. I just like...
Dawn of War 2.
The Relic stuff has always been really exciting for me, and you know, I love Dawn of War, but Company of Heroes just staggered me. I didn't realise a strategy game could be that good, and the thought of them kind of returning to Space Marines and Tyranids and just Blammo stuff, but also it looks like a game that has learnt quite a lot from World of Warcraft as well, in terms of how the gear upgrades work and how they kind of keep people coming back for a game. And
is it a complete change of genre? It looks more like a RPG now.
In multiplayer,
it's not as different as I thought it would be.
No.
There is no base, and you do just have four squads, so it is really, really pared down. But at the same time, it does just feel like Dawn of War, only with the micromanagement turned up and the long-term strategy, like tech trees and stuff, turned off. And like, it's surprising when you first play it, but within about 5 minutes, you kind of feel like you're playing Dawn of War.
Yeah. Okay. Because, I mean, that's different in multiplayer, though, isn't it? In that in multiplayer, you have a base.
Multiplayer's fucking insane. I had no idea how drastic the changes are going to be between multiplayer and single player. Because in multiplayer, you do have a base. Everyone just has one building. That building's got its own tech tree where you upgrade through, like, three different levels. It can build, like...
every building's got a tech tree?
Yeah, everyone only has one building.
Okay, oh, right, okay.
That building has a tech tree in terms of you can level up what units it makes. And so there's like 15 different types of unit per race. It goes up to vehicles on the Space Marine side and like a Carnifex on the Terranet side. And you pick a hero. So each race, each of the four races has three different heroes. That determines what kind of special abilities you get. There are like three, maybe four different types of resource. There's power, there's requisition, there's victory points, and there's a race-specific resource. Like the Tyranids have biomass that they get from killing people and harvesting that, and they use that on special abilities.
Yeah.
It's enormously complicated. Everything is simplified for single player, they've re-complicated for multiplayer. And every hero has 9 different upgradable options on him. All of those 15 units that you can build have their own different upgrades that you can buy, but they're done, rather than buying them back at the base, you actually click on the unit to upgrade them. So they're trying to make it so that you're concentrating on the units rather than back on your base. But yeah, it's absolutely overwhelmingly complicated and crazy.
Okay, maybe we'll play that together, alone.
Together alone, okay.
I mean, the only worry I have is that it's using Games Windows Live multiplayer rather than kind of dedicated server browser and that kind of thing. And I just wondered, like, now you've had some experience of GTA using Games Windows Live, and we've all kind of got it. It's what everyone thinks of Games Windows Live, really.
Well, actually, I mean, until GTA, I was pretty down on it because it hasn't worked. That's one of my key requirements for a service.
Kane and Lynch was astonishing in that they had this, and we never got it working, did we?
No.
And since then...
It's probably a good thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, but Kane Lynch's multiplayer could have been quite good.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But we've just never been able to kind of see it.
But when we were using it this lunchtime for GTA 4, it actually started to feel like Xbox Live, which has always worked well.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been I don't think Xbox Live is perfect, and I think Steam is kind of giving it a run for its money in a way.
Yeah.
But it did go much further than, you know, the GameSpy shit we've been putting up for the last 10 years in gaming.
And that was the thing that kind of astonished me, is that no matter what we have to say for GTA, it's this lunchtime, without finding a dedicated server, without setting anything up, we had a game with six or seven people in total in a free roaming city with loads of shit going on, and we just enjoyed it.
And it's incredible that it works, because until very recently, multiplayer games never could cope with ragdolls. So ragdolls would just be things that only you see, and there's no guarantee. Like, if you see someone die in a really awesome way in Counter-Strike, you can't go on voice comms and say, oh, look at that awesome death, because everyone else will have seen it slightly differently. And in GTA, it can't work like that, because it uses euphoria. So people can be knocked over with ragdoll physics and then get back up. And obviously, their position is still important. Yeah, so everyone has to, every client has to see it in the same place. And we're watching a replay that Graham took of us playing this lunchtime, where I'm on a moped and he's chasing me in a car. He's not actually trying to kill me, I don't think. He's like, I trust that he's not. We're on our way to the airport, you know, to get helicopters. And I just hit a guy who's crossing the road semi-intentionally. I wanted to see what happened,
completely
whether
it intentionally
knocked me off the moped or whatever. And so I kind of crush his leg a little bit and he's dead. And I carry on pretty much full speed. And Graham was almost about to hit the back of me at the time that I hit the guy. Yeah, and he's in a sports car, and so his right-hand wheels run over the guy's head, and it just tips him. And so just as he's about to hit me, his whole car tips onto its side and just skims past me. And you can actually see it touch my guy and then just, like, scrape on in the stream of sparks and then right itself.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Have you noticed whenever we're playing GTA, this is a complete side note, is Graham's always found an amazing sports car? It's just really strange. Okay, so Games Windows Live possibly okay. Is that...
I'm much more hopeful about it now that I've actually played it in a game. I mean, it's probably the least hateful part of GTA 4 right now.
Yeah, none of the GTA online stuff is actually seems to be Game for Windows Live's problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's a social club, or it's working with Steam and all that together.
I mean, I suppose all this shit about having to install .NET 3.5 and Service Pack 3 is probably Games for Windows related, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm prepared to withhold judgment on that.
Okay.
I'll tell you one thing I hate about Games for Windows Live is that it's in Fallout 3, and it can be used to, you know, link your achievements to your Games for Windows, so your Xbox Live or your Live Anywhere account, so that, you know, your Xbox Live friends can see, hey, achieve this in Fallout 3, which is nice, because it usually on PC you feel like you're just totally cut off from that community and the whole achievements thing. Except that to do it, you've got to enter your CD key all over again, and it's like, it's not a nice enough feature for me to actually care that much. So I'm never going to do that.
To be honest, I did it.
Only an idiot would enter the just to show achievements to their friends.
And I did it about a third of the way through my current save game. And so it didn't register that I got those achievements.
Yeah.
And I just thought...
How hard would it be to just store that locally? I mean,
yeah.
I know they don't want people to cheat, but does it really matter for achievements? You can grind them anyway, and you can cheat in Fallout 3 anyway. You can just spawn whatever you need to get the achievement.
Yeah, exactly. So... Fix that, twats.
Yep.
Tommy, you want to talk about the world of Goo Guy?
Yes.
It's back to Kyle.
This doesn't directly relate to anything we were just saying, but...
Yeah,
we've been meaning to interview them for a while, just about how it went, really, because it was a project that obviously took them a long time, and it was an extrapolation on one of the prototype games that he made as part of the Experimental Gameplay Project, which is a university project where they try and make games in just a couple of days. And he made a load, and I didn't think Tower of Goo was that interesting, to be honest, because he made some incredible art games. There's one called The Crowd, where it's just a huge horde of people, and you're allowed to spread love or hate. And hate means just setting fire to their head. And love, I think, it calms them down if they've got hate, and if they haven't, then it spreads, but doesn't spread as slowly or something. And it just creates this bizarre crowd dynamic where you end up starting a riot because you set fire to too many people's heads. And did another game called Darwin Hill, where it's also just these little weird-headed dudes who crop up, and they're all completely randomised. So that one of them have like a tiny left eye and a huge right eye and a square head rather than a circular head, or, you know, just be mutated in really kind of organic ways. And your only control is just to click on one, and a big finger comes down from the sky and squishes them. But they're constantly breeding, and the ones that still survive will breed with each other and produce children that are a bit like them, that share some of their traits. Okay. And so just by crushing the ones you don't like, you end up evolving like a master race of the ones that you want. So if you really like big right eyes and small left eyes, you crush all the ones who don't have that, and you end up with a race that's just like that.
Wasn't it when we did that, when we all played those games, it was like we were amazed by the quality of the entire thing, and then it turns out just all his games were amazing.
Yeah, I thought, wow, this experimental game project is a brilliant idea. You know, students can just make amazing things in just a couple of days. And then the new semester came in and a whole load of new students came in, and they were all just a bit shit. Actually, the lesson was that Kyle Gabler can make amazing things in a few days and no one else can. Actually, a load of the other guys from that semester were really good too.
Okay. High five.
I'm not saying that to be polite, because, you know, the guys in the next semester really were shit.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I wanted to ask him, you know, how well it turned out and why he picked that, you know, his most boring game to expand into a full thing. And all that kind of stuff.
Did you phrase it like that?
Yeah. Why did you pick your shittest game? No, I was fairly rude to him at certain points.
Good work.
But yeah, probably best not to try and explain everything he said. But one of the most interesting things he said was, I asked him if anything had to be cut from World of Goo. Something that struck me about it was that it's incredibly intuitive, and that's something that's very, very hard to do well. Like, you know, everyone has a brilliant idea, goes out and makes a game about it, and one or two levels really work, and the rest are just hopelessly obtuse and stupid. And yet, World of Goo seems really intuitive, and every mechanic it introduces is actually fun and interesting in a new way, and it sort of teaches you without really telling you what to do. And I was just thinking, to make a game like that, you must have so many ideas that sound great and don't work out. Because I know Jonathan Blow said that about Braid. There was a whole world that was turn-based in Braid, so you'd do something, and then the monsters would do something, and then you'd do something. And, you know, it just doesn't work. You have that many ideas, there's a load of things that hit the cutting room floor. And, yeah, he says he cut 2/3 of the levels in World of Goo. So for every level that's in there were two that sounded good but didn't work. So there's one where, you know, the sticky goos, the yellow ones that just attach for anything. The objective was to, it was like a get across the gap one, only there was just no way of building a bridge. So you had to stick your thing to the ceiling and then move it along a bit and stick it to the next bit of the ceiling and kind of just almost Tarzan across. And it sounds brilliant, but apparently it was just incredibly tedious to have to keep moving this thing for each little step, and it was just ended up being really repetitive and unfun. And by the way, there's a little sign when you first encounter those sticky goos that says, you know, the sticky goos did not know that they're extremely sticky or whatever, and were also extremely lonely. And that's a reference to the fact that he found that if you ever have more than one of those in a level, the engine could just crash if you attach them to two different things that are moving.
Guilt for him, then. The exact opposite design philosophy of the Prince of Persia game. If anything was tedious or easy to achieve or
keep it
pointless, then you're just grinding your way around.
And the other thing,
that's what I'm saying.
It gets more than 49% in PC Gamer.
I'd love that to be the voiceover of a commercial for a World of Goo.
Yeah. Look away now.
This game is rubbish.
Play this instead.
Mm-hmm.
So I also asked him if there were any actual types of goo that he cut, like whole types that he didn't make it at all. And apparently there was originally a wheel goo. So one that was just constantly spinning in one direction. And so you would bolt it onto your other goos and just essentially make a vehicle that then drive across the level. And it just wasn't really working in terms of fitting in with the rest of the game.
Oh, man.
It's one of those questions where you always get loads of really exciting and cool information. You think, this is awesome. And then you think, God, that's really depressing.
Yeah.
All those brilliant ideas just died.
Oh. That's like 2009 from the sound of it.
The year of hope.
Shall we talk a bit about Carnage? Or have we talked excessively about Carnage?
For some reason I thought you were going to say Cardiff then.
Your irrational hatred of Left 4 Dead.
Yeah,
borders on the libelous.
I don't like Left 4 Dead. I think I'm the only person in the world who doesn't.
You like the cooperative mode. You didn't like versus mode, but
I do quite like the sniper rifle.
Yeah, you enjoy co-op mode.
Enjoy co-op mode.
Tim played versus mode with us one night, and we just destroyed him. Like, he could barely move without getting pummeled, and he rage quitted.
it was you, Graham, Tom, and Kieran.
I remember it because I got my
Jim.
I got the All 4 Dead achievement where you kill everyone as the tank. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We were working together really well.
Yeah, and I was with a bunch of dicks.
You were with Alec.
Oh, yeah, those dicks.
Alec, me, and someone. Richard
Craig then goes on to name the dicks.
Alec, Richard, and Henry.
Okay,
Henry, you probably won't know. PC
Format.
From PC Format. And so they're just a bunch of dicks, basically, who hadn't really played the game at all and didn't really want to talk. And but the frustrating thing for me wasn't that we couldn't do it, can actually take you on, because I think if given the opportunity, we could have taken you on. It was that the director wouldn't give us the opportunity to actually do it. And I think the when I quit, we'd been put on the survivor side rather than the infected side. And we'd had an absolute pain in the arse as the infected. It was just every time I spawned, it was giving me, it was making
you got
the hunter,
hunter 8 times.
Hunter. Yeah. It's 8 times in a row. And it's like, for fuck's sake, I just want to do something to be able to kind of help. And we were just constantly being given kind of the hunter.
Well, that's...
And then the very moment we started, instantly you got the tap. I was like, why is this fair, enjoyable, or entertaining? And I said that, I literally said that to Craig, and he said, well, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying beating them. So, well, for fuck's sake, I don't want to be this punchbag that you and just quit. And I haven't played versus mode since.
You play in the office with us one day, it'll be great.
Yeah, but the problem is there's five of us.
No, we'll get more people. We'll get PC format involved.
You could physically slap Craig.
Yeah, that is true.
At that point, if you have the same problem.
The thing is, he's so fucking smug about it.
Well, look at him now.
I am, in fact, radiating smugness right now.
He gives you a lot of opportunity for practice to get it's used true. To it.
But yeah, I mean, I have other issues with it. In that I do think it's not replayable enough, and I'm kind of already like slightly bored of the actual chapters itself. I've played them both, pretty much all of them twice, and I can't really stand them again.
I must admit, my two problems with it are, one, it just doesn't fit very well in my schedule.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's just not that convenient a game to play. If you want to play versus mode, which I think is the best mode, it's, you know, nearly 2 hours for a full proper game that lasts well and you play to your conclusion. And finding 8 people who have 2 hours to spare at the same time is just absurdly difficult. And co-op matches, I mean, I haven't tried it since the latest patch, but previously we've had so much trouble finding a dedicated server that works for all of us. So many lag problems. And, you know, some days it'll be absolutely fine, and other days it'll just take us 25 minutes to actually find a server we can play on.
I mean, in the office it works because we just play it over the LAN and everything is fine, but outside of the office it is a trial and a half to actually get a good game working.
Yeah. And, I do, every time I fire it up, particularly in co-op mode, I look at the list of maps and I'm thinking, no, we won't do No Mercy because we just played that. We won't do Blood Harvest because we just played that. We won't do Death Soul because we just played that. We won't do Dead Air because we just played that. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
That's all of them.
I know. That's essentially my issue with it.
And I think they are replayable. I just need a longer break between them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never bothered me the same ones over and over again, because, again, it just doesn't feel like the same ones to me. I always find different rooms to open up, and, you know, the randomness works for me.
Yeah.
And also, I beat your ass.
Fuck you. So maybe I'm not the only person who doesn't enjoy Left 4 Dead as much as everyone else. Maybe. Write in, possibly. just say something. Should we talk a bit about the community stuff while we've got time?
I thought we were going to do Carnage now.
Carnage, you want to talk about Carnage? We've talked a lot about Carnage.
Basically, we talked about Grand Theft Auto, which is my Carnage. Yeah.
Okay. So, but actually, we want to talk about Rollercoaster Carnage.
Well, I'd first like to point out there is no Carnage in Prince of Persia, and you should probably play World of Goo instead.
No Carnage in World of Goo, though.
That's still all I had to say on that.
Okay.
It's more productive non-Carnage in World of Goo. Rollercoaster. This isn't our Carnage, this is other people's Carnage that we've studied scientifically.
Although I did do this once on my own without realising it was a...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tim found just a YouTube video that someone had done, beautifully directed, I might say, of a roller coaster he'd set up where you just see this really busy queue for this presumably amazing ride. Just a one long, very narrow path, absolutely jam-packed, 5 people wide. And in the background, you see this very twisty,
got balloons.
Curly...
Oh, balloons!
twisty, curly, loopy roller coaster. And then it cuts to a car on the roller coaster going at quite some speed.
They're really enjoying really it. Nice...
And then it cuts back to the crowd. And then it cuts back to the roller coaster and cuts back to the crowd.
They've
all the
got ice cream.
About. And at that point in the background, you can see that the roller coaster car is on the roller coaster in the background. And as you follow it round, you can kind of see that actually, after all the looping and curling, it leads directly towards the path. And then it cuts back to the roller coaster and they go very, very fast. And it cuts back to the crowd and they're all just ambling around. And then eventually, obviously, they go around all the loops and curls, yeah, going at tremendous speed, and the final section of the track just lines them up directly with the path and just knocks them like skittles. As far as I can tell, no one actually can ever die in Roller Coaster Tycoon. No, they've taken great pains to make it a family game.
Weren't they?
But yeah, players take this as a challenge. They're like, okay, you're not going to let me kill someone. I'm going to try. I'm going to make it so obvious that these people are dead that you won't know what to do.
Does this have
they'll just get taken to the theme hospital.
Is this like the only YouTube video that doesn't have rock music on it as well?
Yeah, it's remarkably...
I found this like a year and a half ago. I swear to God, because it's like a...
the one YouTube video without rock music?
Well, that, the one you're talking about. I think it's a game developer that actually made it as well.
Awesome.
But yeah, we went and found... a bunch of these, and there is a whole community of people just trying to hurt people in Roller Coaster Tycoon in the worst ways possible, like making enormous pits with and getting everyone down there by knocking them with a roller coaster,
yeah,
and then piling another roller coaster in on them from 100 feet.
there's something you can do as well. Is I remember being told about this. I don't know how kind of detailed it is, but there's a Safari Park expansion pack in one of the things, so you can basically you kind of trap everyone in like a little road, put fences around it, and you build the Safari Park outside of it, take the fences down, and there you put the lions. it's brilliant.
One of the ones we featured in this is in Cultures, the Roller Coaster Tycoon death parks. One of them is just someone trying to kill the park inspector over and over again in increasingly violent ways. So first he just tries to run a roller coaster into him, and he's invincible to that. And then he tries to run like four roller coasters into him at once, and he's invincible to that. And then runs four roller coasters into them, and then sets off fireworks underneath him. So it sets fire to the whole place. Immune to that as well. And he puts up an electric fence around it, and then sets on like eight lions in the arena as well. And then sets fire to him, and then crashes all the roller coasters into him. And yeah, he turns out to be invincible.
Isn't this what happened in the Lapland park in Dorset recently?
Shit, we should recreate that in...
One of the easier levels to
lions
make,
on fire.
So yeah, that, I mean, there's so what I wanted to really talk about is just the ways in which you can be a dick in games, because I'm absolutely just that. I think it's something twigged in Fallout for me, in that I've always been quite good in games, but in Fallout I've just been playing it as a complete playground for the insane. And
welcome to our world.
I find it quite sort of onerous that I've got to be good, and if someone gives me a quest, I've got to do it nicely and be polite. But these fire ants are annoying me so much, I'm going to kill them, and then I'm going to kill the scientist. I'm going to actually render all my work pointless, and I don't care, and that's what I want.
Well, Fallout always gives you the option eventually just to be...
I'm going
to
shoot his face
even
off.
In the text, it's like, when you select an actual responses to people, it's like, hi, how are you? Are you okay? Fuck you!
No, it was... Mass Effect did have that moment where you just punch the journalist.
I had many, many moments where you could just punch someone in the face. It's
just like the height of diplomacy.
The Jack Bauer option in every conversation.
Shut up!
I had enough of your snide insinuations.
I was asking you if you wanted tea.
No, I hate tea.
I tried to play out of Fallout 3 where I wanted to be neutral, because I don't know if you've seen, but there's a perk that gives you a huge speech bonus being neutral. And there are a couple of followers who'll only follow you if you're neutral. Like, there's a robot you can have a lonely follow you if you're completely neutral, not if you're good or if you're bad. And I thought, well, I'm kind of neutral in real life, so this will be a bit like role-playing how I really would behave in these situations. And it turns out that you get enormous good karma from almost everything you do in Fallout. Like, just doing a favor for, the maintenance guy in Megaton wants you to go around and fix some leaks. You do that, and it gives you as much good karma as destroying the whole town does bad. And so every time I complete a quest, I find myself with enormous good karma, and I need to get
just
it back down
work
to neutral.
It off. Yeah.
So I end up just having to kill everybody I've done jobs for. I'll help the guy, I'll fix all the leaks, I'll get the reward, and then I'll just cut his head off with this enormous monster claw I've got. This is the killing spree you have to go on just to stay neutral is absurd.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd...
in the game.
Yeah. I mean, I destroyed Megaton and killed everyone in Tenpenny Tower.
Yeah, I did that first
and
time.
And I thought, there's no way I'm going to be good in this game, but apparently right now I'm an angel. Just because I have done a few sort of not heinous acts.
I lost karma for taking a chainsaw from a mass murderer who had confessed to me that he'd killed over 1,000 people. Broken into his lair where he chops up the bodies.
You steal stuff.
And I took the chainsaw and said, lost karma, you evil son of a bitch. He needed that chainsaw to cut things.
A bit of moral relativism there.
Well, he'd stopped killing and started tree surgery. Yeah. And you've basically taken away his
tools. and the world needed those trees.
If his tree surgery in Fallout 3 is not a viable occupation.
Well, it's not now, you've stolen his chainsaw.
cost of many bottle caps. Can we talk a little bit about the community stuff that we've got going on?
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Me neither.
Right. Number one, we've got loads of competitions on the PC Gamer blog in the next couple of days, which is exciting.
When's this podcast out?
Sometime during those competitions. Well,
like the 18th
so,
or something.
Yeah, so we've got a bunch of shit from... I say a bunch of shit, I mean a bunch of really awesome stuff. Yeah. From,
you were quite excited.
From a scap outside.
Yeah, from friends of PC Gamer. We're going to have an entire collection of Valve games to give away. We've got loads awesome. Of copies of Fallout and good shit. We've got some RAM. We've got... good old games have given us loads of stuff. We've got loads of Warcraft stuff. So we're going to have a big 12 games of Christmas giveaway. And you're all invited.
Is it my copy of the Lich King Collector's Edition you'll win?
No, possibly. Yes. Ish.
I thought it might be.
No, we've got some Upper Deck stuff as well. So the figurines and... Figurines, the little kind of collectible card game, and the miniatures game. We'll have that stuff to give away. And we might give away a car that can drive on the ceiling.
That's actually like true. Prince of Persia, a game you should not play.
So that is cool, and it'll be on the PC Gamer homepage, which is pcgamer.co.uk. Same time, World of Warcraft Guild has 107 members, which is quite exciting. And there were 30 people on last night, which is very good.
Our Steam group has 12,000 members.
Well, fuck you and your Steam group. Are they all real, though?
And our Sportcast has 31,000 subscribers.
Okay.
Only when it's not deleted.
Yeah. It was deleted for a little
too
while.
Too many knots.
Max has kind of deleted it, and
why?
Then they put
do
it back.
Know, do we know why?
No, I just I asked EA to see if they could find out what was going on, and I got an email from Max saying, oh, we see your Sportcast has been accidentally deleted. We would like to restore it.
Yes, it's a very passive way of putting it. We deleted.
Someone snuck in our offices. Hit the delete button and keep it.
Oh, that looks popular.
I mean, it's hard to completely overlook because it is the most popular Sportcast in the whole of sport.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, never mind. The Warhammer Guild is doing less well. in that we've had to move server because the server population completely crashed.
Are we nomads?
Yes, and we've gone from Carrick Vlag to Carrick Norn.
No less nerdy, I note.
And there's about 10 of us.
Is that really technically a guild?
A guild?
Yeah.
That's more of
a minibus.
Posse.
Yeah, what is the minimum number for a guild?
I think you...
Two.
Merchants? Or... Because... In World of Warcraft, the minimum number for a guild is 10.
Right.
But in Warhammer, it's 5. 6. No, it's 6 for...
Yeah, but then that makes my family a guild. Yeah. We're clearly not a guild. We don't...
If you trade together. Shop. If you start trading together and fixing prices, you can be a guild.
Right. Okay.
If you include my cat, our house is a guild.
If your cat can't trade.
You can bring in dead animals.
Yeah, he's not trading.
It's not actually trading, is it?
He might be expecting something in return, and we just don't know what.
Yeah,
he looks at me with those eyes.
I know you guys have low expectations in Scotland, but that's not actually trading.
There's the racist comedy we were waiting for.
And you'll get there in the end.
Steve the Bernard Manningham.
Yeah. Oh, God, please.
We're also playing the developers of Quake Wars at Quake Wars.
Yes.
Or with them. We're going to be with them. Yeah, they're just going to be against
us. That might be unwise. I think we should play them at magazine writing.
Yeah.
No, we're going to be on their side, and they're going to show us how to win.
Okay.
Yeah.
When's that happening?
7th of January at 7 p.m.
7th of January, 7 p.m.
There was a time
be
when
there
I was
or be
quite
not there.
Not there.
There was a time when I was quite enjoying Quake Wars.
Yeah.
When it first came out, and not everyone had realised that the sniper class was so much better than all the other classes. There were plenty of non-snipers to snipe.
I still like the jetpacks.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go strong when we play.
I think it's a shame that it got completely crushed by Team Fortress because there's loads of cool ideas in that game that. I'd love to see how
it felt. It did feel really hardcore to me, though. Like when I was using it, it was just getting owned from a billion miles away by someone I couldn't see.
I think it kind of suffers from the same thing that StarCraft suffers from sometimes, in that if you go online, you'll just get crushed because the mechanics are so deep and kind of quite quirky that you just won't know them unless you'd actually experience.
Didn't they apologise for the UI at some point?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Something worth mentioning about Dawn of War 2 actually is, although it is really complicated and it is going to be quite hard to get to grips with online, they're doing skill-based matchmaking with Games for Windows Live, just automatically for free. There's no because you remember they were going to do like only for gold members and you had to pay for a live subscription.
And then Microsoft changed though.
Yeah, and they realised PC gamers won't actually stand for that shit. But it's also, the default mode is 3v3, so you've got two guys to actually cooperate with, and it's not entirely your fault if you get totally owned. So it should be a little bit more friendly for that.
Although every 3v3 game that I've played online, when I'm the twat, it's not just the other guys who are beating me.
I didn't know
me.
That was a class.
It's not just the other guys, the guys on the other side who are being rude to me, it's my own team as well for fucking up.
Yeah, that's Left 4 Dead with strangers sometimes doesn't work out so well because my style is rather unique. Sometimes they don't entirely understand the virtue to the team that I'm providing.
Rapidly stabbing a fire extinguisher over and over again.
But it's amazing, like it just takes one person, even if they're not talking to me, just to say, you know, where the fuck are you going, or, you know, stop running off or something. And suddenly the whole mood is just soured, and for the rest of the game we're just kind of resenting each other. It's just, oh, he's being pinned by a hunter. Do I want to save him?
I'm going to survive with these twats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it. We're also going to have a second podcast that we're going to do after this. Do you guys know about this?
Yeah, I gathered.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve?
I'm being swapped out.
Yeah.
Like Ram.
I think we should pick Steve because we had he had a different game.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, is it really cold in here or is it all the racist comments I've made? I'd just like to say I'm not a racist. Don't cut that off the end, please. I love Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's the cold wind of racism here blowing.
And so that's pretty much it. Thank you for listening.
It's been a trial for them.
It has been a trial.
It hasn't been a trial, it's been a chore.
Ross will be back soon, it'll be much better.
To glue it to that together.
So we'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.